Hello, everyone. This is the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and thereby the chair of this meeting. And what's going to happen here is we've done a fast informal poll and we have a quorum, so we've started. And what we're going to do now is I am going to move that we adopt an agenda. And I have to do this one-handed. Okay, so I move that we adopt the following agenda. 1, call to order, 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda, 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. 4, excused absences, 5 minutes. 5, minutes approval, 10 minutes. Treasurer's report, 15 minutes. General manager's report on WBAI's finances, 30 minutes. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 9, new business, 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay. So, that's the motion. It's on the floor. And does anyone have any debate, any amendments, or anything else related to the agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Hearing none, it is passed without objection. Okay, the next thing we do is we identify the timekeeper.
Bob Paul, I'll do it.
Okay. And okay, is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none. Go with that. And right now, I am going to do a formal roll call. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma?
Present.
Jim Dingman? Bruce Grief? Is that Bruce Grief or somebody else? Somebody else. John Hoffman?
Present.
Noel Jameson?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Carolyn McIntyre?
I'm here.
Okay. Daryl McPherson?
Present.
Allie Murphy?
Here.
Bertold Reimers? Serene Roberts? James Sagerton, Jeffrey Stern,
here.
Neil Voss,
here.
Michael D.D. White,
here.
M.K. Williams,
here.
Okay, and that's 11, and so here we go on to the next thing.
Matt.
Hiya, Matt. Sorry, but you missed a meeting, two meetings in a row a while back. So that, you know, you lose a membership.
Okay.
So, but you're here now. And since you've brought that up, let me read the thing that I get to read about membership. And it is, okay, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular radio station, local station, and only that local station, may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. And I've made the membership announcement, and so, okay, and Matt Mazza is here. So Matt Mazza is here. Is anybody else here who would like to become a member of the committee and who wants to tell me their name right now? Has to be an actual name. Anybody? Okay. Hearing none. We're moving along. Okay. The next item is going to be really fast because the next item is excused absences. And we didn't get any. And so, let's just make a note, there are none. And the next thing is minutes approval. And M.K. Williams, secretary, you have the floor.
Okay, well, I sent the minute. May 17th. I sent them on Sunday night, 72 hours in advance. Does anybody need them sent again or read or anything?
All right. You've made the motion. Is there any debate on this motion or questions regarding the minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing the motion to approve the minutes of the May 17th meeting? Hearing none, the motion is approved without objection. Next, we go to the Treasurer's Report. And it just disappeared. Okay. Yep. Try this again. Sometimes. I have to, under the old days, telephone that I could hang up and do some of this stuff with, but if I try to do that with this phone, it actually hangs up, and that's no good. Okay, so let me find myself here, and here we are. Okay, at the May 23rd, 2023 NFC meeting, the main thing that occurred was that the committee considered a new timetable for budgets. I'd sent in a draft of a timeline. And this was considered, and after it was amended, a timeline for the FY23 budgets was approved. I'll note that we're almost at the end of the third quarter of FY23 right now. I've sent a copy of that timeline to the committee's mailing list earlier today. The NFC also passed a timeline for FY24 and beyond, and that may need to be amended in the future. At the June 13th, 2023 NFC meeting, the executive director said that a second offer to buy the KPFK building had come in and that there's another one pending. These offers have not been presented to the PNB, or at least they hadn't been at that point. They hadn't been presented to the PNB for approval yet, but the executive director said that they're still moving forward with talking to potential buyers. the executive director, said that Pacifica had not been able to make the interest payment on the FJC loan in March, and she didn't think that Pacifica would be able to make the interest payment that's due at the end of June either. She'll be talking to the FJC people about what to do next. In the past, the FJC interest payments have been around $48,000 a quarter, but with the prime rate escalating, that may be higher now. Given that FJC had made an additional loan to Pacifica in the same amount as the interest payments that had been made, I think that the principal of the FJC loan is probably, not definitely, probably around $2.1 million. The executive director said that the interest on the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, EIDL, that was obtained when most people agreed that the pandemic was still going on, that interest is starting to come due. And she said that Pacifica owed 2 months on that EIDL at this time. And the executive director said that the monthly EIDL interest payment is $8,731, and that the total payout for that loan is about a bit more than $2 million. She said that the national office had gotten the notice after the first interest had been supposed to be paid, and there hadn't been time to pay the second interest payment after that. So right now we owe two interest payments on the EIDL, and it's not a big amount. I think we'll probably catch up soon. The executive director said that Pacifica's accounts payable were about $1,970,000, and that figure does not include past due central services payments. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, June 27th, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and that meeting will be held by teleconference, and that's the treasurer's report. Okay, is there any questions or anything on the treasurer's report?
Do you know when those central services bills are going to come due?
Central services? Central services are due on a monthly basis.
No, but you said our accounts payable didn't include central services.
Right. When are they going to talk about that? I don't know. There's actually debate about central services at this point in time. And that may be why she left it out of that calculation. So they're due on a monthly basis, and they are fairly substantial. We know that. And we should be – one sec. Pardon me as I clear my throat. And we should be getting a new income statement very soon, because what we're working on right now is one that goes up to the end of February. So we should get one, you know, that goes maybe to the end of May in the next week or so, I hope. Anyway, this is... Yes. Who's this?
This is Jack.
Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Just a question. The FJC is what, quarterly?
Yes.
The EIDL loan is monthly.
Geez, I think it might be, yeah. But I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. You know what? I'm going to write that down. Hold on a second.
One second.
Okay, I've written that down as a question. I will find out about that. And so there's that. Any further questions, comments, or whatever on the treasurer's report?
Yes.
What is their figure?
Okay, why don't we take a stake? Why don't we take a stack? Who wants to be on the stack? Please say your name.
Noel Jameson.
Ali.
Okay. I have Noel. Who else?
Ali.
Okay. Ali Murphy. Anybody else want to be in a stack? Okay, we'll start with that. Noel, go ahead.
I just want to confirm that there are two outstanding loans in excess of $2 million each.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right. It is, by the way, hoped, no definite thing. It has been hoped for a while that the EIDL, the Emergency Injury Loan, may get forgiven by the government. This is what people are hoping all over the country. So no guarantee, but it is a hope. Who knows? Okay, Allie Murphy, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for you. Can you just repeat the figure that you gave for the accounts payable? You said it was a million something, and also
it sure was. Let me 1,970,000 dollars.
Okay, and
so
is that
2 million?
Okay, close to 2 million. Yeah, for you, move it. Okay, and my second question is, you said that the central services is paid every month.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. Okay, that not necessarily means that they have been paid. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything, any questions, comments, or whatever on the treasurer's report? And if nobody has, we can go on to the next item. Okay, I'm going on, unless there's objection, I'm going on to the next item here. And the next item is the General Manager's Report on WBAI's Finances. Is Berthold here? All right, let me make a fast look here and see who's here. Is Jim Dingman here? Is Bruce Grief here? Is Berthold Reimers here? Is Serene Roberts here?
Present.
That's Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Serene Roberts is here. Is James Sagerton here? Okay. All right. Berthold, are you here, Berthold? He does not seem to be here at this point in time. Matt, do you know if he was planning to show up here? Matt Mazza? Okay. Okay. Oh, is that Matt saying you don't know?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Gee whiz. Okay. Well, I guess what we can do is we can I will move to I'll move to postpone this item. Let me look where we put it. Ah, crap. to new business, I suppose. Okay. Till new business. Okay. There's a motion to postpone this item till new business. Any kind of any debate on that motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll postpone it to new business, which is not that far away. And I will note that I emailed, of course, I've emailed the information about the meeting to the general manager, and so he knew that we're meeting. And also earlier today, I emailed him regarding if he was going to send us any documents or anything. And he emailed something back, you know, and he didn't send me any documents. He said, let me see what he said. He said, he'd look into it, but not much has changed since the LSB meeting. So he sent me that this morning. Okay. And there we are with that. So, all right. So we're moving on here. And next item here is set next meeting date. And we're going to have to assume that, you know, the general manager will be okay with the date being the same way we've been doing it for quite a while. And so the way we've been doing it, the next meeting, I'll move that the next meeting be Wednesday, July 19th. So let me make that motion here. July 19th. Okay, so I move that we meet next on July 19th, 2023 at 7 p.m. here on Zoom in the usual way. Any debate or questions or anything on this item, on this motion?
Okay, you can announce.
Now?
What's happening here? Who's this?
James Sagerton.
James Sagerton. Okay, let me write you down here. James Sagerton is present. Okay.
Are you concluding, Paul?
Well, what I have is a motion on the floor that we meet next on July 17th.
Wait, so you are concluding. Okay.
19th, July 19th.
Thank you.
Okay, so I will do a fast roll call in a few seconds here, I think. Okay, so the motion is we meet next on Wednesday, July 19th. Any debate on that motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Daryl, go ahead.
Maestro?
Say again?
Are we meeting Maestro? By Maestro?
Yes, this same way we've been meeting.
The only reason I brought it up is because you said Zoom.
Did I? Oh, I don't recall that, but we meet on Maestro.
Thank you.
Oh, well. And, all right. Okay. Any further debate or anything on the motion to meet next on Wednesday, July 19th? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to meeting next on Wednesday, July 19th? Hearing none, that motion is passed without objection. And at this point in time, we are now at new business. And is the general manager here? Bertold, are you here? Bertold, are you here? Well, that's a problem. Let's see. Let me. All right. So Bertold appears to be not here. This is a problem. He did say last time that he actually.
Here's some information. Bertold says he's trying to join at the moment.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? I'll read the thing again. Okay. Trying to join. Okay. What I'll do is I'll read this thing I have to read here, the membership announcement, and click on that. Okay, where is that? Here it is. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. That having been said, is there anybody here who wants to tell me their name and say they want to, you know, start trying to become a member? Don't hear anyone. So I guess no one's giving us their name. All right, Berthold, are you on yet? Could everybody who isn't Berthold please hold on a minute? Berthold, are you here? Okay, we should probably – Michael, did he say anything about what his problem was with getting on the call here?
He didn't say exactly what his problem was, but he just was telling me and Carolyn on another line that he was trying to get on.
Well – okay, so let's see. We've been on here. Okay, let's see. Well, it's only been 3 minutes or so. Okay. All right. Let me. I'll just say something here. That yeah, we have these deficits and things with for Pacifica here, and it is kind of troubling to find that the FJC loan interest payment is probably not going to be made by the end of this month, and oh boy, that's a bit of a problem right there. And I don't know, I mean, we have some troubling things facing us, folks. On the other hand, if people have read the treasurer's report, they will notice I'm, you know, sort of pessimistic about some of this stuff. Okay, Berthold, are you here yet? I wonder. So he didn't say what his problem was. Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Who was that?
Robert.
Okay. All right. You can make that. Okay. So Serene Roberts is making a motion to adjourn. It's not debatable. Is there any objection to adjourning at this time?
Yes.
Okay. So there is objection to adjourning. So what we do is we go and we vote on this. And here we go. All right. The motion is to adjourn. Please, yes means you want to adjourn. No means you don't want to, and you may also abstain. Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
I'll pass.
Jim Dingman. Bruce Grief. John Hoffman.
Are you still
yes.
there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
Will people mute themselves if they have announcements coming in? Noel Jameson.
Michael, I'll call it on my own. Yes.
R. Paul Martin, I'll pass. Carolyn McIntyre? Carolyn McIntyre?
Abstain.
Darryl McPherson.
Yes. And does yes mean that you're voting against?
Yes means you're voting to abstain. The motion. No. No. Yes means you're voting to adjourn. So the motion
no.
is to adjourn. Yes
no.
means you want to adjourn.
No.
So your vote is no.
No.
Okay. Allie Murphy.
Okay. Can you give me the motion again? Because
to adjourn.
Oh, but is the general manager, he's not coming? Or
okay,
we don't know.
He's not here yet, and a motion has been made to adjourn, and that takes precedence.
Okay. I would say I will abstain then. Thank you.
Abstain. Yeah. Okay. Bertold Reimers. Serene Roberts.
Yes, adjourn.
James Sagerton.
No, I'm going to try to call Bertold.
Jeffrey Stern.
Yes.
Neil Voss.
No.
Michael D.D. White.
No.
M.K. Williams.
No.
Okay, going back. Jack DePalma.
I'm going to abstain. I'm going to send him a text message.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
Okay, that's what you're doing. Okay. Jim Dingman. Bruce Grief. And R. Paul Martin. I'm going to vote no at this.
I would say yes. Can you change
mine? Who's
this? This is Ali Murphy.
Okay. All right, let's go back. Okay, so hold on a second. So you're saying yes?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going from an abstention to a yes, and I will vote. And for now, I will say no. And so the vote comes down to 5-4, 6 against, 2 abstentions. So it fails. I would say, let's wait a couple of more minutes because I don't know why there's a problem here. But I would prefer not to, you know, cut it short. If we could just wait one more minute and he comes in or something. Okay. So we're waiting here a bit, and all right. Anybody have any more?
I have a question about what you said earlier, the FY23 timeline. If you want to.
Okay,
go
who's
to
this?
That.
M.K. Williams.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. About the timeline, what about it?
Okay. It looks like it's FY23. Is this
Bertold?
Bertold showed up.
Okay. I will yield to Bertold.
Okay. Bertold, we're ready for the general manager's report. You want to give it?
I'm sorry for being late. Well, I do not have a report. The same report I gave to the LSB, more or less the same report. Nothing has changed. I guess we are
Bertold, you didn't send that to the local finance committee, you know.
No, the local station board. That's the same thing that happened at that meeting. Nothing has changed from that, from there.
I wish you would send that to the local. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Bertold.
We owe another half a month to the Empire State Building. I mean, the four Times Square. So we're running into 3.5 months. And that's dangerous. So they sent me 2 emails. I think the director is copy on that. And that's that. The 14-day fund drive was a disaster. For all the reasons that I kept on saying that we should not do them. And that's my report. And you can we have an event tomorrow at SOB's. We're probably not going to make any money. We're going to be lucky if we break even. It's $2,500 to rent the space. It's probably between $1,000 and $1,500 for the DJ, depending on how much money we make. You know, we're a few hundred dollars for flyers and things like that. And, you know, it's close to $4,000. At $25 a person, you need to sell like 200 tickets. To almost break even, to have a few dollars extra. And the major story is we are averaging $18,000 a month from the PSAs from mid-April to mid-May and mid-May to mid-June. And then Linda and I were trying to figure out if this is going to continue from mid-June to July and on until we can determine whether or not we're going to accept this as regular income. The Department of Health, we, Jacob, got us this contact, so we're trying to establish, Department of Education, we try to establish contact with them and then to keep a relationship with them. They gave us a very small contract, and we took care of that, but we'd like to go further, and we Linda and I are going to talk to them to see if we can build that relationship. There's definitely a problem billing those people because it's very complicated. They bill you by campaign, and then there are specific ranges. They may give you a request for a month and a half, 6 weeks, and that might be broken down into three bills because there's the end of each month, so that has to be considered. And then we have to consider whether it's on a Saturday or a Sunday, and so on. So Linda and I, we probably cleaned up the whole billing from the Department of Transportation, and we're working on cleaning up the billing for the Department of Health. So, but that's the only bright light at BAI right now. It is BSA. Less money, and it is obvious more premium, new premium, money, less premium, no money. It's that simple, it's not tricky, it's not how many people are listening. Obviously, if we had more people listening, we'd make more money, but we can make our goal if we have premium. Case in point, Kristen Brazil came up with a new premium right after the end of the drive. And we've been averaging about $3,000 a day. That premium is just bringing in all the money. And, sick and tired of all the complaints about premium, the Brazil premium, the Garinol premium, when nobody else is coming up with the premium. The bottom line is our model is a premium model. Until we have the money to invest into marketing and reaching out to a bigger audience, because the programming is obviously pretty damn good. I was listening to BI today, from 3 o'clock on, from Katie Harper interviewing Mr. candidate Cornel West, to there's a new show that right after that, talking about Canada as an imperialist country, to Richard Wolff and Amy Goodman. It's like solid 3 or 4 hours of really, really good programming, captivating. So it's obviously marketing, sales, and outreach, that we do not have the money for, and that no one seems to want to have the willpower to decide and then to order and then to invest in marketing and marketing our shows. And then also doing podcasting, which is one of the things that the biggest frustration of my managing at BI, and then there's a bunch of them, where we started a podcast initiation program, and we ran out of money. We knew we were going to run out of money, and then nobody picked it up. And then they didn't pick up to try to raise money to support it. National board did not. The executive director did not. No one did. So that's my report. And the 14-day fund drive was a disaster.
Okay. Well, Bertolt, so... Okay, let me go first here. All right, so you're saying a new premium made some money, and how much did that make, do you think?
They were averaging $3,000 a day.
Bertold, the new premium, what did that get for that program?
He said $3,000 a day.
Well, I want to hear him at this point. Bertold?
Yeah. Well, today after I don't know how many days of pitching, we are at $1,500 a day, just for that premium.
Okay.
That premium made $1,500 today. I think it made $2,400 yesterday. And then we've been playing it ad nauseum. It shouldn't be making that kind of money right now.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Could folks not talk while Bertold and I are trying to do this right there? Okay. Okay. Okay, somebody is talking over us.
That's Darren.
Daryl, I think you're... Yeah. Okay, Daryl, I'm going to mute for a second there so we can get something where we can hear each other. Okay. Well, now I'm totally distracted. Let me look at what I wrote down here. Okay, so the 14-day fundraiser, how much did that get? What was the take on the 14-day?
I don't remember exactly, but I did send that. I'm sorry, I did send it to the LFD. The 14-day fundraiser raised about $1,700 $1,500 a day for 14 days. Which is, for 8 hours, 9 hours of pitching, that's pretty bad. Plus, 70% of 3/4 of the premiums were all premium that we pitched because we were not able to generate new premium. The only new premium really we had was the best of BAI's the best of BAI health, and which is also a rehash of old shows that is put together as a new premium. So, to me, the part of it that's the most disastrous was the fact that we were not able to generate more premiums that we could have used going forward. You know, Catherine had a hard time getting the collaboration of producers, and she said that. And Catherine is the defender of the producers per excellence. And I sent a comprehensive report on how Linda and I collaborated with her 100%, sent quite a few emails to producers to tell them to work with Catherine, and gave Catherine the ability to send email to the producer list to reach out to the producers. And despite all of that, there were some promises made and not kept. There are people who just ignored. And in general, the producers bunch as a group did thumb their nose at the whole process and at Catherine. That's exactly what happened.
As a producer, I must say, I don't think the producers should be called as thumbing their nose at the process. I mean, people.
That's what they did.
We disagree on that.
That's a fact. So that's why I don't do 30-day fund drives. That's why I went to 2-3 hours a day, every day, because that was my experience, which I was told is because I am mistreating, not treating properly, not communicating properly. That's why people are not collaborating. And so this case, finally, reinforces what I've always felt and I knew is that there's a lack of enthusiasm and collaboration from the producer as a body. Obviously, there are producers who go way out of their way to give premiums, to produce premiums on a regular basis. Whether or not those premiums are effective doesn't even matter. What matters really the most is that they put the effort in coming up with the premium. And then in this case, that didn't even happen. So that is the most important part of it all. We knew that this was going to be a trial basis, and then we knew that we may not make that much money on this first trial basis. So we knew that. We anticipated that as a possibility. The disappointment was not the making the money as much as in not getting collaboration and getting people enthusiastic about producing, providing, working with Catherine to give premiums.
Okay, Bertold, you and I are going to have to agree to disagree about your saying that producers are thumbing their nose at it and leave it at that. The other part of it is... you mentioned that one premium, the Best of BAI premium, did that actually get made, and is it being sent out?
It's being made. We are in collaboration with Catherine, who was collecting a lot of those premiums and from the different shows, and then that would be made and sent out.
Okay, so it's being made now. It's not sent out yet.
It's being made now. It was in progress when it was being put together to be offered.
And you mentioned we're 3.5 months behind with Four Times Square. You said they sent you a letter?
Yeah, they sent me letters on a regular basis. I sent quite a few letters.
What is your sense here? I mean, you know, you'd said before, oh boy, if we hit 3 months behind... they're going to turn the switch. Now we're 3.5 months behind. What's your sense here? Are they pissed off at us? Are they going to turn the switch? Or are they going to give us some more slack or what?
Well, I have no idea. I'm talking to the executive director and author to see if we can talk to them. Because we also need credit for all the time they shut us down for repair. And Arthur sent them a letter. We've never heard from them on that.
Uh-huh.
So there might be some negotiation.
Okay. All right. I think that's my...
Jack.
Yes.
Can I get a question?
Okay, I'm going to take a stack here. Okay,
Michael White
so...
a stack.
I think I heard Daryl before.
Michael White.
Yes, Dee Palma. And White. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Ali Murphy.
Chair, put me at the bottom of the stack after all these people go.
Okay, I'll put you at the bottom of the stack after all these people. So we'll do that, and we'll do this, and we'll post.
You got me, Bertold. Sorry,
okay.
You got me, right?
So far, what I have for the stack is Jack DePalma, Michael White, Ali Murphy, Daryl McPherson. Anybody else want to get on stack? Okay, let's start with Jack DePalma.
Oh, I have a question.
Thank you,
I'll put Stern
really
on the stack. Stern's in the stack. Jack DePalma,
no,
go ahead.
No, I don't want him in the stack. I have a question. All right? We never started his time for the half an hour. What do you want to do now? Start now, it's half an hour?
Why don't we say at 7:40? At 7:40 he started. So say he started at 7:40.
Okay, totally
and,
sure. Okay.
And it's 30 minutes. Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah, it's more of an observation than a question. We were all hoping for the CPB money coming in. And I think everybody that's been around long enough to remember what goes on, August and July are not the best months in our fundraising circumstance. So I think of this as the bottom of the worst of the potential the year of 23, when we're going to lose that money that fell from the sky, like Paul says. And we're also going to, you know, have to deal with the fact that we have a low listenership. And I think what Bertold is saying is that 14-day fundraising model is no longer. Now, I'll just make one comment about that fundraising model. NPR is doing the same exact thing at the same time. It's not easy to kind of keep going back to your supporters and asking and asking and asking and asking. And then I think this is also the time when you want people to join. And even though there are people complaining that $25 is too much to be a member, they don't seem to realize at the NFB there are times when they said, oh, I'm going to reach into my pocket and give a little more because they needed so much more. So 22 is a year of we got extra money, we got loan money, we got this and that money. But 23, I think, is kind of like going to turn out to be, and I see that we're consistently shy about 10%, 20% of our monthly nut. So I don't think this is going to change in the short term, and I don't think it's going to get better in the. I don't want to be pessimistic out there, but I think we have to be realistic, and we have to realize that we actually are not we're not meeting the mark. And that's just a comment. Like I said, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I do realize what Bertolt is saying and what you're saying is consistently the same thing, that we're missing the mark. So I'll stop. Thank you.
I'd like
okay.
to answer that question.
Okay, Bertolt, do you want to answer that? Go ahead.
It's very easy. We are bringing in $18,000 in PSAs, and that's basically kind of plugging the holes that we have by reduced fundraising. We can easily double that and have $40,000 in PSAs a month. But Linda and I cannot be responsible to going after all these things. If the LSB or LSB Finance Committee or anybody wanted to focus on getting three agencies working on three agencies and helping us manage those, we have six or seven agencies, and that would bring us $40,000 a month. $40,000 a month would bring us pretty close to breaking even in PSAs. So that's to not have a dire situation and depressing situation, we can do this. It's just do we want to? Do you want to? Because I want to. I'm doing it. Do you want to?
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that right now, but I will have a comment on it later. Okay, Michael D.D. White, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to get confirmed what Linda was telling us at the LSB meeting, that Catherine Davis, who did most of the work, I think, on the marathon, has a lot of marathon production experience going back to the old days. And Linda said that she did a good job on her end in doing the work for the marathon, and that's not the reason that she considered that it failed. And I think that both of you, it's not the reason either of you consider that it failed, and that we do have a problem with producers that are either not in the habit of producing premiums or never got into the habit and don't know how to do it. So it's a cultural shift from the old days when we had marathons that did produce money, and that involved a lot of very good premiums. And you might comment on what could be behind some of that cultural change, which is a lot of these shows, you know, have other presences on the internet, shift the center of gravity away from WBAI, where they are doing their own fundraising. And some of that fundraising may be in a form that's not premium-based, which makes them think even less in terms of producing premiums to support the station.
I'd like to answer that.
Go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, the failure of the fundraising has in no way whatsoever a reflection on Catherine Davis, nor me, nor Linda, for that matter of fact. It's a reflection on the whole culture and attitude of the whole the WBI as the family. You know, that's including the producer, that's including the LSB. It's the whole family is dysfunctional. What we had intended to do with Catherine's experience is to at least jumpstart the understanding and the culture of the producers to understand what this was about. And then she, you know, she did spend 2 months trying to build that. You know, there's not so much you can do. You know, in my culture, they say you can force the river. You cannot force it to drink the water. So that is second. I'm not going to give a pass like Michael. You want to give a pass to producers in general here because there are enough producers that have been at DEI long, much longer than I have, and then I've been at DEI at least for the past 13 years that were part of that culture of building and producing premium and that are not producing them. I'm not going to go into, you know, finger pointing or whatever, but there are plenty, you know. The good old days, were never that good old days anyways, to tell you the truth, because my recognition is when I just joined WBI, Catherine Davis and Tony Bates, who were organizing Fund Drive, and I was a neophyte, brand new general manager, didn't know anything about any of this stuff, they were complaining about the producers not really coming up with anything. The only difference back then was that we had a Fund Drive coordinator who basically spent the whole year organizing Fund Drive and looking for a premium. We had the public affairs director. We had the assistant to the general manager and assistant to the program director. All of these people were looking for a premium, getting premium for producers. Even the producers that seemed very successful, a lot of them didn't get their premium. Like they were given a list of 4 or 5 premiums to choose from, and then sometimes they were finicky at picking them. We had to force them to choose one, and then so they would read it and pitch it. But the good old days were not that good. You know, we lacked the staff to do this continually, looking for premium, cutting clips of DVDs to put in the pitch and all of that stuff. So it's an endemic problem. It's a problem of the whole body, you know. So, lack of people, lack of will, I think. Everyone is just kind of like, hey, don't worry, Bertol, even though everybody was going to call me incompetent, but everybody's counting on me and Linda to come up with all the magic to bring in the money. So it's also a culture of relying on management to come up with these things and then to come up with the money. So I'm done.
Okay, next person is Allie Murphy.
Yes, I have two questions. The first one is about SOB. You said that you're renting SOB for $3,500 and you're probably just going to break even. If you know so, why are you having that event? Because if you're not going to make money, why have an event that you know that you're not going to make money? Or unless you're just having it to keep the name of WBR alive and no one telling people, like, come and just party with us or something like that. That's one. And my second question is that I was at a meeting and I overheard somebody saying, but I couldn't really confirm that because a lot of time we are at this meeting, at the finance meeting, and sometimes we step out when we don't really hear everything. And I could just say it for myself. Somebody said that that WBI is spending $250,000 just in consultants. If that is so, and we owe the antenna, if that is so, I don't know if it's true or not. Are these consultants are getting paid first, and then this antenna and the rent are secondary on the list? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. So the first question is an excellent question. Just like people keep pushing for the 14-day or 30-day nonstop 9 hours a day fund drive, you know, we're always being pulled. You know, we have to have events, and then everybody thinks events make money. Events do not really make money. You know, events are keeps, you know, the image of WBI out there, unless you have sponsorship at the event, which Afrobeat Radio, where Jacob was trying to get, you don't make any money. Normally, we get SOBs for free when we do the event with Consabo Latino. It's because they have had a relationship with Consabo Latino for over 30 or 40 years, and then it's been we bring Consabo Latino bring things to them. So the $2,500 was a big discount on the space. So we have to have a DJ that we will pay based on how much money we bring in. So between $1,500 and $1,000. So yeah, so $3,500 is about the cost of having an event. Even when we have the Gary Noll event, renting a hall, you know, even at the so-called progressive universities, new school, they're asking for $2,500 or more. So yeah, that's an excellent question. We usually think of making, when we have a successful SOB event, we will make $4,500 with Consabo Latino. A successful event with Gary Noll, extremely successful event with Gary Noll, where we have like 300-400 people, we will make like $8,000 and $12,000 is 4 days of successful pitching, 2 hours a day. So it's a lot easier to just go on there and pitch and make that money than doing all the work that I had to do, all the work Wooey had to do, all the work the webmaster had to do, and the person who's doing the contact, despite sending email and sending flyers and all that stuff and going to clubs and passing flyers. Yeah, you could say what's the point of having events. I actually think that you have a good point there, you know, and that's something you may want to bring out, especially when people are always, you know, badgering me about why don't you have more events to raise money? The events do not raise money. Second, when you're talking about consultants, I don't understand this. I have gone over and over again. I have given spreadsheets that breaks it down. We talk about consultants. We're talking about a webmaster. You know, they are consultants because we are getting away with doing things that that are in our advantage, because those people should be employees. So these are technically employees. And then we can go over and over this to show you how that money is spent in consulting. We pay $500 a month. $500 a month to four hosts out of five hosts, a morning host that host our drive time shows, because you couldn't get anybody who wanted to put that kind of effort into being up at 5 in the morning and producing prime time show. So that's $500 times four. That's what? That's $2,000 in 1 month. That's worth it. You know? So these are the kind of consultants. At our point, you can send the spreadsheet out that I've sent to the finance committee a few times about the breakdown of the consultant, and then, you know, whether or not this is the other thing, the so-called legal things. Are those people really consultants, or are these people that should be employed but are just doing a few hours to help us and donating us a lot of hours, and is that even legal? So that's been discussed over and over.
Okay, I think I heard time called there. Did I?
Get on, bro. Yes.
Okay, so we have. Let's see what we have. We have
We have two more people on. We have two more. Okay, so you're going to move. Okay. I'm going to write this down. Okay, so the motion is to extend the time for this item by 15 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none. It's passed, and I make it 2012. Okay. The next person on stack is Daryl McPherson.
My last, Paul?
No, at this point I am, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead. Okay, Bertold. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Great. First of all,
yes,
I want to congratulate you. First of all, I want to congratulate you on the new PSAs. They're really rolling. I'd like to know, how can we help you get more PSAs? What's the process? You can go into it with an email to me. Did you receive my email today? Hello?
I go on mute when you're talking so that I don't make any noise. I've been going on and about.
No, that's okay. That's fine. My understanding then that we owe, that WBAI owes 4 times square $63,000.
Yes, and we owe the call center quite some money also, probably the same amount.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the call center and the space at 388. We owe them 20?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at $100,000 in a minute that could put us off the air like ever. And what I want to emphasize is, if anybody has been listening to the station for the last 3 days, and it's failed to send a program out to somebody, then we're all laying down on the job. Do you know, have any idea what the listening figures are? Because the programming in the last 4 days, you could go 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. It's just outstanding programming that you're getting information that is unavailable anywhere. Especially Mimi Rosenberg and Gerald Horn talking about Juneteenth. I mean, you had grown people on major media spinning a lie to the public and everybody packing themselves on the back because they got a federal holiday, which hardly anybody understands. And so what I'm looking for is, we need $100,000 yesterday. And you're bringing in $18,000 from the PSAs. Is there anybody doing outreach to the Department on the Aging?
No, nobody is doing that. Oh, and thank you for bringing that. Can I add quickly? I've created pamphlets about the PSAs that are extremely professionally done, very, very pretty. And if you guys send me an email, I can forward it to Matt. At WBI.org, he can mail you 10 of those, because I felt that I was worried about people talking about WBI and promoting the PSAs. Those pamphlets are, says it all. And if you need 10 of them, so that you can go about, seeking PSAs, I can mail those things to you.
I would appreciate that. The thing is that when you go to send programs to people, you often have to listen to the program so that you can get the information required so that you can then go ahead and fill in. So filling in that information block in the archive is key to a successful way of promoting the station. Do you have any idea of what How does it work? Is it by quarter hour? Is it by the hour? The listenership measurement by these rating agencies?
I think it's by quarter hour, and then you it's compiled into 1 hour. And concerning
okay, so quarter hour,
and concerning your frustration about you have to go listen to the program before you actually can send them to someone. The producers, it's the producer's responsibility. I've been trying to drill that and push that, and it's frustrating that they update the archives of their show. They can do that like 2 minutes after the show is produced. It's usually, unfortunately, part of it has to do with management, lack of technical skills. A lot of producers put their upcoming shows, upcoming programs. Technically speaking, the upcoming program should update the archives after the show has been played. But that's not happening, and the guy who wrote the program is moved to Canada, and he's not really giving us the right and the ability to go and try to fix that. However, it takes 2 minutes to go and copy and paste the description of your program into the archives, so that we can have a description of the program. And then that goes into Google. And if anybody is Googling, is doing a Google search, and then any words is typed in there or any name of a politician is typed in the archives, they will come up on Google. Actually, right now, I'm doing the quarterly report, and I'm going to spend a whole week going in and looking for the shows and playing them to know what's being played, so that I can do the report. It's a quarterly report that's due, and it's taking me a lot of time to do. I must say I'm going to give credit to a lot of producers who have been doing this regularly, updating their archives. But there are a lot of them that are not. Also when I'm sending out the dispatch and the newsletter. For example, I had a good show today, the Katie Harper show, interviewing Cornel West. I want to present that in the dispatch to highlight it. And if I know the archive has been updated because I told Linda, and then she went and did it herself. But if the archive was not updated, I might have not sent that show and chosen another show, or reach out to the producer and says, I need you to update the archive to put a description of the show, so that people can see what's going on.
Did you do Margaret Kimberly's program, because he was on there also? I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'm blanking. Oh, let me move on. Okay.
Yeah.
Just search along. Was it possible to easily send that information to Yahoo, so that people who use Yahoo as a search engine would be able to get that? And that way, when people use goodsearch.org to search for things, they would also get that BAI information?
I am not technically,
Okay, let me just ask you this then. Could you ask someone if it's possible?
However, on each show, there are social media handles you can just click and supposedly send those shows, I believe, to, Facebook or, Twitter or whatever. I don't know if they always work. Our part probably is more aware of how much or well they work and when they don't work more than I do. But we do have the social handles on all of the shows, the description of the shows, and the description of a one-hour show that just happened, where you can immediately send it to social media.
Would it be possible for the announcers and the producers to announce, A, that we need $100,000 yesterday, B, we need $350 an hour, and C, since January 2023, I've earned $41 using search alone for the station. Zero out of pocket, just searching information that I was inspired by listening to WBAI. Now, just think about that. If you could get 100,000 of your listeners to be somewhat curious about their lives, what that might bring to the station. We need more listeners. Understood. We need people working the high schools. We need people working the colleges. We need to establish, if necessary, another committee to do outreach to those entities and just ask them to search using goodsearch.org and BAI as their charity of their cause of choice, and your money problems are solved. However, that's just me. Do we have any ideas about how to get that 100,000? You have to announce over the air that you need this money, because just asking for money, I'm listening to the producers. They act like the job is secure and the station's going to be there forever. How long are you going to be able to exist on $1.3 million a year? Even your lawyer gets on the radio and says that figure. That's unrealistic. Not besides being totally punishing of the two people who are in management. We need to get the information to the public about what it costs to run a radio station in New York City. Then we need to emphasize that even if you save WBAI without saving Pacifica, and what was I think our Paul said that they need $10 million yesterday just to stay afloat. We have to give the information to the listeners so that they will get all the nonprofits to register with Good Search and Good Shop, and all the nonprofits to donate to WBAI, or else there will be zero campaigning easily through this method.
So Darren, I get you, but you know, like I've sometimes you know disagree with you a little bit, because the reason is because I think the impact of the Good Search is not going to be that much. It's going to take a long time. Okay, that's first. Second, I think that an easy solution right now is people are going out there and getting PSAs, $18,000. I mean, management is not that bright or that whatever it is we are and that we got $18,000 a month on a regular basis lately coming through PSAs. Anybody can do that. Okay.
Except
that
anybody also doesn't know how to represent the station. Bertol, you have to have authorization to make statements. You just can't go out and say, gee whiz, I'm a listener to BAI. Would you like to advertise on WBAI? You have to have some credentials, I would think.
Well, when I say everybody, I'm talking about the finance committee, focus on the finance committee, the fundraising and outreach committee, the WBAI local station board. Well, you know, you're right. And that's why I produced this pamphlet. And anyone who wants, I don't know how we should do that. Should they send an email to RFOR or to the finance committee and ask for 5 of this pamphlet mailed to their specific address that they give, or how to do that? But before I finish, just addressing the consultant. So we have a webmaster. We have the constant contact where we're sending like a correspondence, and then we're being exposed. Which is actually people are very much appreciating. We have the backup to the board apps. We have a booker for Leonard Lopez, and then we have pitching. When no one else is coming off premium or pitching, we have Kristen Blasdell, Tony Bates, two major people pitching, and the return on investment is huge. You know, like it's like 1 to 40. I had the numbers. So when you add all of that up, it comes about $15,000 a month, plus everything else that I'm forgetting to include. This is just right off the top of my head for Ali. So this is not a matter of choosing the tower versus this. $15,000 a month. You have to have your webmaster. You have to have the board app replacement. We have to have those people pitching, otherwise we won't make any money. So those three numbers alone will bring you up to a good, like, $10,000. Yeah, about $10,000, you know. So, you know, I mean, you could say to get rid of the contact person or the booker, but that's still a significant amount of money. It's still $9,000 to $10,000. And consultants, these are not really consultants. These are people that are necessary. Webmaster, you know, when somebody calls in sick or takes a day off, when they're doing the board, they have to be replaced. Sometimes we try to program the station to cover that so that we spend less money. But at the end of the day, you have to have someone covering this. You know, and then the pitching. The pitching, if we're asking Christian Blasin for two pitch for the month, and then we ask Tony for one, you know, like you're getting close to $5,000-$6,000, you know, but they're bringing in $30,000-$40,000, you know, so that's that. And thank you for listening.
Point of information.
Fine.
Okay, several things converging at once. Time and a point of information. What is the point of information? Is it something the general manager said?
It was to do with how much time was left on the
line. Oh, okay. You got an instant answer there. Zero. Okay. The timekeeper is called Time. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend?
Daryl,
I have a motion
to extend.
I have to go now. Bye.
I'd like to.
Daryl, make a motion.
Hold on. We have too many people. Okay.
Daryl, making a motion to extend for 10 minutes.
Extend 10 minutes. Okay, so that's Daryl. I heard somebody saying they were going away. What was that? Is it? I don't know.
I hope Jack.
Jack. Okay, so you're saying you're going?
Yeah,
okay.
We were going to adjourn, and I think Daryl wants to have an extended conversation with Bertolt about the finances of the station. But unfortunately, you know, $43 is not going to save
the station.
Here we go.
Is there any objection to extending?
Thank you very much, Operator. I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay, is there any objection to extending by 10 minutes? Yeah, I had some rumble came in. Is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended. Mr. Timekeeper, the time is 20:28. Okay. Okay, are Bertold and Daryl done?
No.
Oh, come on. It's been 15 minutes. May I speak, please?
Well, I'm on a list,
sure,
too.
You can go ahead. But I have more
Daryl,
time.
Daryl, come on. We got to have a stack. So, yeah, really, you have eaten the whole thing. Yeah. Tell you what. Let's move on with the stack, which has me next, which I'm not going to take much time. Then we'll go to Serene Roberts, and we'll see what we do after that. Bertold, the first thing is, you know, maybe you should listen to what you were saying there, because some of what you were saying in answer to the questions Daryl was bringing up are there's something that could be problematical in there. On top of which, at some point you said people should email me or the committee about something. What was that about?
PSAs.
I have the PSA pamphlet, and I was asking for procedural advice. If you want a PSA, a few pamphlets mailed to you, should we have it go to the finance committee, anybody on this committee, or should it go to me, or how would you like to manage this, Uncle?
Should go to you, your management, instead of having a middleman who isn't paid to do any of this. Should go to you. You're right there. You got the pamphlets. I don't have any stinking pamphlets. So, yeah, obviously it should go to you or somebody at BAI who's authorized to send out the pamphlets. The other thing is, yeah, these are the consultants are something that have become a necessity. But we also
have the employees who have to get paid first, and we have to pay attention to that. This is just for general stuff. We can't pay four times square and not pay the paid staff. Paid staff must always come first. The consultants are not paid staff, and so they're something on the order of vendors. So the consultants are lower down on the list of what must be paid. So we have to keep that in mind. The payroll is for the paid staff, and by law, they got to get paid first. And there was a lot going on there, and I wrote a lot of it down, but I'm not going to read all of it now. So the next thing we'll do is, Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I was off the call for periods of time.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, I was on mute. Can I give the order by which we spend the money?
Sure.
It would be like five items. Okay, the number one is payroll. Number two is health benefit, as much as we can. And then number three is either consulted, some of them, like the webmaster, the board app coverage for sure. And then we try to see how much we can pay four times square. And then after that, we try to see if we can do anything with the call center, if possible, and 388. I mean, 388, you know, it's a travesty. I mean, I speak to the owner every day, and, you know, she's very understanding, but, you know, it's very embarrassing, and, you know, she's really helping us out here. But, so, this is the order, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, so I missed parts of the meeting. I was on and off the call, and by the way, the Rent Guidelines Board has increased one-year leases by 3%. If you're getting a two-year lease, it's an increase of 2.75% for the first year and 3.2% for the second year rent stabilized apartments and for lofts, and single room occupancy and hotels get 0% increase this year. But that said, I was on the call enough to hear some statements that one might describe as disparaging about producers, and I don't think that it is either accurate or helpful to put everybody in the same bag or to measure people's commitment necessarily by the dollars they make. And I also want to object to something that I've heard managers say more than once. You know, there are carts that go that say, you know, you can become a buddy of your favorite show, or you can pledge for all BAI programs. And then folks go around saying, well, oh, you only have two buddies, or you have zero buddies, or whatever the case is. If you have a category call all, then that's what it means. It means all, right? So there are times when I've pledged and I've chosen all, and I've recommended to people who tell me about five shows they love and they can't list all five. I said, well, either keep a record of what you pledge for each time, or just put all. So that practice needs to stop. But I do think that there need to be regular, ongoing meetings with staff that are fully interactive, where staff is not spoken at, but spoken with, where people can register their complaints and concerns and dissatisfactions without being targeted later on. You know, retribution is not a good thing, but it happens there. Many producers pitch really hard, and they mean, and you know, and they pitch more than once, and it's not just a casual, oh, here's the number, call in if you can. They do sustain pitches, but I think we have to really refigure how things are being done there, because as someone trying to recommend programming
to people who are new to the station, I can't tell them, well, you know, 3 out of 4 times you'll get what I'm telling you about. This, the constant preemptions have to stop. There needs to be a meeting, an informal meeting, maybe not run by management, as the occasional and often canceled staff meetings seem to be. But there needs to be a forum where the folks who do the work can really talk with the people who do the listening, and then with the people who do the budgeting, although I'm not quite sure if we should call out process budgeting, right? Because it's pretty much pay what you can as soon as you can. And anyway, but yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to put down producers. We know, everybody knows that not all people come to the table with the same amount of energy, same amount of focus. There are clearly people who only listen to their own recordings. They have no idea, really, what happens on the other programs because they're not listening. And then there are people who really know the station as well as some of us listeners do. And you can't treat everyone and categorize everyone in the same way. And you shouldn't treat anyone disrespectfully, which is how I think a lot of the frustrations that I heard tonight are honestly received. I'll stop. Thank you.
Okay. Time? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd
time
like to,
has
I'd
been...
Like to, I'd like to address that.
Well, hold on. Why don't we see if time has been called and is there a motion to... Is there
to
okay, let me ask a question before anybody jumps in. Is there a motion to extend the time for this item?
I moved that.
Oh boy, there's so many people. Who's this?
5 minutes.
Michael White motioning to extend for 2.5 minutes. The virtual.
I heard White for 2.5, 2.5 minutes. Okay, that's what I heard first. Okay, so the motion is to extend.
That's a waste of time. 5 minutes, please.
Okay, so you want to make... Well, that's an amendment then. Okay.
Don't do that.
If you're going to amend for 10...
You're gonna make this much more...
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to amend for 10, if you don't use it, that's fine. But this 2.5 ain't going to make it.
All right, she's made a motion to be for 5 minutes. Okay, so that's what we have. So she's made an amendment. So she's had.
Question? How many people are on staff?
None, really. You were talking. So if you're not done, and the thing we have is Bertold wanting to reply to you. That's what we have right now, really.
And then down.
You took me off the stat.
You talked. You were on. Anyway, okay, instead of all of that, there is a motion to extend the time for deciding by 2.5 minutes, and then there's an amendment to extend it, make it 5 minutes instead of 2.5.
Can we just...
On the amendment, is there anybody... Is there any objection to 5 minutes?
Can you hear me?
Saying what?
Let's just do 10 and be done.
Let's do what?
10.
Okay, I'm getting something like bubbling up here, so I can't hear people.
Oh. Well, I wanted 5, Dell wanted 10. You're allowed 2 amendments, so let's just do the 10.
So you... All right, Daryl, so you want to make an amendment to make it 10. Okay. Okay. And extend 10. Okay. So we have our main motion and amendments. The main motion is to extend by 2.5 minutes. Then there's an amendment to that to make it 5 minutes. And now there's an amendment to that to make it 10 minutes. So we go to the last one first. Is there any objection to making the to extending the time for this item by 10 minutes? That would replace the 5 minutes.
I object.
Okay. All righty, we'll go to a vote on this. And paste that there. Okay, this is an amendment. The amendment would amend the other amendment that's for 5 minutes and make it 10 minutes. So if you vote yes, you want to replace the 5 minute amendment with a 10 minute amendment. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma. I think you left. Jim Dingman. Bruce Grief. Don Hoffman?
Yes.
Noel Jameson?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, I'll pass. Carolyn McIntyre?
No.
Daryl McPherson?
Yes.
Allie Murphy?
Yes.
Bertold Reimers?
Abstain.
Doreen Roberts?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Jeffrey Stern?
Yes.
Neil Voss?
Abstain.
Michael D.D. White?
No.
M.K. Williams?
No.
Going back here, De Palma's gone. Dingman's not here. Grief isn't here. Me. I'm going to abstain on this one. Okay, the final count is 6-4, 4 against, 3 abstentions. It needs a 2/3. 6-4 is not 2/3. Okay, so that amendment... Oh, no, wait a minute, we're amending. It just requires a majority. Okay, that does pass, 6-4, so that part passes. So... Okay, now we're voting on the exact same thing again because it replaces the amendment to make it 5 minutes. Does anybody want to – does anybody – okay. So now the amendment is to make it 10 minutes instead of 2.5 minutes. Does anybody want to object to making it 10 minutes, which means the main motion becomes 10 minutes? Does anybody want to object to that? Hearing none. Okay, hearing that. Now the main motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? And if this passes, it's extended for 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's extended by 10 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, it is now 20:44. Okay. Berthold was wanting to reply. Go ahead, Berthold.
Yes. So I strongly disagree with Serene Roberts. Not as an individual, but as all the concepts. It's enough that we keep on finding excuses for people to all this network. People have to assume responsibility. The producers have a responsibility to come up with premiums and to raise money. We are dissolving them of their responsibility. You know, and then this whole thing about, you know, attacking the producers and not treating them right, it's like a whole cop out. You know, we're not only focusing on the producers here, we're talking about the whole systemic problem of not having enough money and enough staff to plan the fund drive.
No, I'm on a meeting.
Stop you know, defending the producers, you know, as if they are so weak and the management is attacking them. That's nonsense. When I joined the network, I was told that management mistreats producers and disrespects them. And I was like, okay. 5 years later, I heard the same thing. Then I asked, what do you mean?
Thank you.
I am management. Am I disrespecting or mismanaging producers? No. So then what are you talking about? You're talking about Bernard White 10 years ago? And then I'm even not sure he did, because, you know, since I've been around, I'm like, I take this thing with a grain of salt. So we have to stop that. You know, these are not the people who are feeble and cannot defend themselves or cannot speak for themselves. This is an excuse, a cop-out. Everybody has a responsibility in this network, and just to assume their responsibility and do their job. That's my point, you know. It's not disparaging producers, not attacking producers. So we're pointing out this is an endemic problem. We have been had people producing premiums or pitching. Is management doing a good job of training producers to come up with premium and pitching? No, we're not either. You know, but do not just come up with excuses for producers or management. You know, well, you know, we don't have enough staff, enough time. Yeah, that's a reason, but that's an excuse. So at the end of the day, management has to find a way to train producers, teach them how to come up with premiums, and the producers have to step up and ensure that they care, you know, some of them. And I'm done. I'm tired of, you know, like sugarcoating thing, and, you know, like we have to be politically correct and nice. It's enough of that. I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to call on me for a second here. Boy, some of this stuff. Really, Bertold, you know, this is being streamed and it'll be up on kpftx.org. You should listen to this entire meeting when it's done and listen to your parts to it. It's very interesting. I have to say, it's a radio station. It's a radio station, and it's not a store where we have products and that's it. Now, we have a store sort of attached to it, which is an unfortunate thing, but the main thing is supposed to be the programming. And, you know, what are you going to do if you have, you know, we've had this in the past where we've had people who did very good radio programs, had decent listenership, and they couldn't pitch for anything. And that's in the days before we got into this home shopping network syndrome that we're currently in. And so, you know, what the solution was then was you tried to get a really good pitcher in with that person, and that would frequently help. But you don't just throw out the person because they're not raising the money. I mean, this focusing on money is going to end up getting the hucksters in there, and we have had some rather troubling hucksters on the air, and you will end up with only the hucksters after you keep doing that enough, and the people who can do radio that's interesting to people and not necessarily mainstream type of programming, those people are going to be gone. And you know, what'll it be worth then? We're selling stuff? No, that's just not a good thing. And I will note, staff meetings. Supposed to have had one a week ago tomorrow. Didn't have it again. So, yeah, that's an issue right there, too. And, oh, well. But I think really, this stuff of going after producers aren't producing enough premiums, that really is mistreating the producers. We've had this conversation before, Bertold. Some of us came to communicate, not to sell.
I'm on a meeting. Sorry.
Yeah,
I object to this. I object, and I would like to be on the stack. This is Carolyn McIntyre.
Okay, and so that's my comment, and I will now take a stack. Who wants to be in the stack?
Carolyn McIntyre.
Noel
Jameson.
Matt Mazza.
Noel. Who else?
Matt Mazza.
Matt.
No, go ahead.
Matt.
Okay, so I have Carolyn McIntyre, Noel Jameson, Matt Mazza.
Daryl McPherson.
Daryl. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with that. Start with Carolyn McIntyre. Go ahead.
So I think that the management and producers work hard. These are not easy jobs. And if excuse me, please don't talk when I'm talking. If somebody wants to air some frustration, you know, help them out. And so some people in this meeting are very good at pinpointing an area that will be divisive, fomenting divisiveness. And please don't fall into that trap. You know, it's not helpful. Yes, this is obviously a hard time. It's scary. It's sad. And I feel for everybody in it. But don't find the vulnerability and use it and weaponize it, please, and start slinging it, you know, who's the bad guy. Because, you know, there is a lot of good programming. There is no other WBAI. There is nothing else like WBAI in New York. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Next is Noel Jameson.
Thank you, Paul. You know, I'm not a radio person and don't have experience with radio management, and I've never been a producer. But after years of being on the finance committee, I do know that there's a certain cost to be on the air. And I guess in these discussions, what I'm hearing is management is saying someone in addition to them has to be aware and focused on the fact that it costs money to be on the air. And then I'm hearing, you know, from another group that the programming is enough. And it seems to me that we're in a financial position that is worse than dire. It needs immediate attention. It's at the local level and the national level. And the idea that new premiums be provided at a time when the old premiums seem to be diminishing in terms of bringing in revenue doesn't sound bad. And there are lots of creative ideas, but I would say that we've had 5 to 10 years to implement some new model. The model we do have, as Bert Holt has said, is a premium-based model. And at this point, when the ship is sinking, I think it takes all hands on deck to help with bringing in revenue. And the only thing that has been tried and true has been premiums. And the content alone hasn't done it, or at least we haven't pitched it in a way that it could do it. So I don't know how I can help with the premiums or thinking how to bring in premiums. I've always been thinking in terms of more listeners, but it's clear at this late date, if you could have said something or done something to bring in listeners, it should have happened before now. And that we need something that appeals to the people who are already listening to get the dollars that we need, because it does cost money to be on the air, regardless of how good your programming is. That's all I have to say.
Okay, I'm going to add me to the bottom of the list. Matt Mazza, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to comment on people that call us a home shopping network. Maybe I could see certain things, but you have to see some of these packages. I just finished now. Took me a long time to get it done. A premium of Malcolm X, a Malcolm X library. You have to see this package. And you can't find it on Amazon. Three cheers for that. The mission statement of Pacifica being an educational entity. Yeah, it's not about making money. But unfortunately, things cost money. So this is the big conflict. But the premium, and the flash drives, I think it's going to work. You just plug it in. That's going to be good.
Matt, you're kind of breaking up a bit. Maybe you get closer to the phone or something.
Okay, how's this? Better?
Better? Let's see how it sounds.
All right.
Much better.
Okay, very good. So, these premiums that Mimi mostly, she is Florian and she is together. We have a wonderful Belafonte premium. I said about a home shopping, and you can't find it on Amazon. It's no place else. The other thing is patching up leaks. Called me the other day and told me that she put donations online. So she wanted to sign up a couple of relatives. So I immediately took the information, said to Chris, I couldn't raise him on the phone, but he has that information, so he could patch that up. These things happen. Don't lose. Don't have leaks. Technical things. But as far as an education, it's phenomenal. Peace on Democracy Now! Is... And Daniel Ellsberg.
Matt, you're still breaking up a lot.
Okay. I hope you got something about what I said. But the programming Democracy Now! Yesterday. And Harry Belafonte stuff. I hope I got through. So, that's it. I hope I got it.
Okay. All right. Daryl McPherson, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair. Okay. We need $100,000, and my suggestion is that the... What is it? Jeez. That the board... do outreach to universities and churches and other faith organizations to promote the premiums that Matt was talking about, especially Mimi's premium. If you were able to get a group of volunteers to just call every learning institution in this town and present the premiums that Mimi Rosenberg has produced over the last period of time, you'd get that $100,000 within inside of a week. I'm not even going to talk about good church, good shop, anything. We have the premium. We failed to have an organized volunteer corps to shop the people who need the premium, who have the after-school program, who have the educational program, who can reach the research people in order to do that. The Times Square could cut us off tomorrow, and then what are we going to be talking about? Who's doing outreach to the producers in a producer-friendly way? Why don't we get the producers who are on the committee to do outreach to producers to explain to them how dire this situation is. BAI, as far as broadcasting, could be gone whenever Times Square decides. And that is incorrect. If we're a listener-sponsored organization and we're failing to inform the listeners of the status of what it is that they're investing in, then that's abominable. And I'm totally clear that most listeners think that they're doing somebody a favor by sending in $25 to the station. You need, as Noel said, it costs money to do anything in monopoly capitalism. And if you're unwilling to come up with the money, especially name the hucksters, right? The hucksters are keeping the damn station running right now. The people who hate Gary Null, as lunatic as he may be, is the one keeping the station on the air with his product that he doesn't even want to advertise on your radio. He has his own radio station, and he's playing his program, and BAI is huckstering his product to stay on the air. Now, help me understand that. We're supposed to be grown individuals, and we can't come up with $100,000 in a week? The former mayor of New York City is $94 billion in net worth. You have 100 billionaires living in New York. You think maybe we could shine shoes enough to get $100,000 so we can get out of debt? I mean, it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed, and I'm not even in it. I just happen to love what the station puts out. I learned more today. I learned some stuff today on Dr. McIntosh's minefield that I had no idea about. It wasn't 50 acres and a mule. It was 50 acres and $50. I mean, come on, folks. Let's come up with the money. Drop all your personal stuff and come up with the money. So if Berto says we can get 10 more PSAs, why don't we do outreach, ask John Brinkley to do outreach in cities that do PSAs in New Jersey, and find somebody in Westchester, in Connecticut. Come up with the money. That's what we need to do. And then we can work on the audience. And the audience is there because we have a very ignorant population in New York. And I'm directing this specifically to people of African descent. This is a chance to get a radio station that actually puts out your message. So, that's me. Come up with the money. Leave your feelings at home. Maybe if you bought the premium and got your blocks cleared, we could come up with the money.
Okay. I want to put me in here. It's not that I'm saying we can't be doing any premiums. It's that people going on the air are not necessarily people who are going to be able to come up with premiums. Not everybody thinks in terms of stocking the store shelves and selling the stuff off those shelves. Some people think about walking around in the street and saying, you know, handing out leaflets or something. These are different ways of looking at things. And, and regarding some of the premiums, some premiums that we've had have been seriously embarrassing, and I don't think anybody should flinch from saying that.
Name them.
Okay. How about the guy? Now I can't remember. Was Omega XL that guy who's been in prison for hawking crap before, and, you know, schemes, all sorts of schemes. We had him doing stuff on our air for a while. I don't remember what his damn name is, but his product is Omega XL that cures every damn thing in the universe. And we've had some other folks pushing some stuff, and we've had some people pushing HIV cures, which were obviously not HIV cures, which was especially bothersome to me. And we've had others too. So without going into a long list, which I'm not going to be able to remember, I'll just say, can we have one person on the floor at a time, please, Daryl? Daryl, please come to order. So, okay. Daryl, if you're not going to come to order, we're going to end up with no meeting here.
May I say one word, please? This is Alice.
I want to finish.
Oh, okay.
So.
Go ahead.
So the thing is, Yeah, there are premiums, and we can do them, and we can't just throw every premium in. And I'm not saying every premium is, you know, like the Omega XL or something like that. I am saying that management needs to understand that not everybody is a somebody who comes up with a product. Not everybody comes on the air to have a product, and that's an important thing to remember. Okay, do we have another stack? Who wants to go next?
Can I just say one thing?
Who's this?
Ali.
Oh, Murphy? Okay, yes. Murphy will be next. Hold on. Who else wants to go next after her?
Aren't we
Noelle Jameson.
Okay, Noelle. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with Ali Murphy first.
I understood that the PNB voted, I think there was a motion put through that if you didn't make a certain amount of money, then they will either take your show away and you will lose your spot or something like that. Can anybody clarify that to me? Because I know there are people on this call that they're part of the PNB, and I know that something was put through that I thought it sounded like that. Thank you.
Any director on the call want to answer that?
Can I address that myself a little bit?
No. You're not a director. Is there any director on the call who wants to answer that question? No. Okay, I'll answer that. As far as I know, the PNB hasn't made that a certain amount of money that you have to make or your show goes off the air. I haven't heard about that. If they did, that'll be very interesting. But I haven't heard that they've done that. Okay. Noel, you're next.
Yes, I'd like to speak to the history or the idea that we've had people, quote-unquote, hucksters on the air with dubious and questionable products. I would suggest, humbly suggest, since we haven't seemed to have that problem with programmers, that we have a policy and procedure for determining what premiums come on the air and what people, you know, the credentials and verification process of those credentials of people who are pitching on the air. Because clearly we seemingly are able to do it with picking producers. So I think the problem of the wrong people pitching can be addressed by having policies, procedures, rules, and regulations ahead of time as to who can pitch and basic background checks. I mean, none of the problems that I heard were things that could not be overcome today with a Google search.
Okay. Anybody else?
Carolyn McIntyre,
go ahead.
I think that quibbling over some past premiums that are not the general rule is not really helpful right now, and I'm wondering if we can instead focus on how we can raise money right now.
Well, I will point out this is the Finance Committee, not the Money Raising Committee, so we may not do that well at it. If somebody wants to make a massive suggestion how we'll raise. Well, somebody's already made a suggestion about how to raise $100,000 in a week. If anybody wants to answer Carolyn McIntyre's idea, they may go ahead. Anybody want to say something now?
Well, how about getting some PSAs, folks? I mean, that's an easy, right there, proven money making thing. I don't see the committee focusing on talking about that at all.
Okay, Bertold, let me bring something up regarding that. There's the issue of authorization, and I don't think everybody should be empowered to go out and say, I represent BAI, and you should do a PSA with us. Because, you know, not everybody's going to do it that well. And I think it needs to be authorized through you for if anybody's going to do something like that. In other words, not just say, hey, everybody on the LSB go out and get PSAs for BAI, because they may go to some place and somebody may go to some place and piss them off. And then we're going to have a situation where we could have gone there with somebody else and we could maybe have gotten something. So you really have to make authorization for anybody representing WBAI in any kind of way, Bertold. So that's just that. Okay. Anybody else?
I agree with that, and that's why I created the flyer that somebody can just kind of initiate the first contact and then give them the flyer, and then I can call with that person, just like Wooey did, get the Department of Education. There are a lot of... there are so many different departments, New York State, New York City Department of Health, Department of this and that, Department of the Elderly. Definitely people can initiate. You initiated the whole thing, and he basically did the whole thing. You know, he spoke to those people and then asked me for advice, and I gave him the advice, and then we spoke to those people. We sent him the documentation that he needed, and then it was done. So has to be a collaboration between... always between producers or whomever and management, and we're pretty hands off, who we had the connection. Once you have the connection, I think the policy of management is to allow you to have that conversation, and then we step in, in the background as a support. We become the support staff, and we help, we provide information. And now we just provided the pamphlet that breaks it down.
All right. I just wanted to make sure, you have to have the big hand in this, because there are people who could really, who don't represent well, put it that way. All right. Anybody else have anything else at this point in time?
Daryl McPherson, real quick.
Okay. Daryl, go ahead.
I implore people to share programming that they find intriguing with their friends and neighbors, and ask the friends and neighbors to then share with their friends and neighbors. I do texting. I text programs to people all the time, especially fundraising programs. So, Leonard Lopez does a book, almost a book of program, and that would be if the person found the book interesting, that would be a membership and a book to the person. So you want to emphasize, and I'm trying to understand why, Bertold, you fail to emphasize with every ticket you get a membership in WBAI in this current SOB extravaganza. And I think that it's good to do that kind of a thing, to do outreach to the public, because I go up to people all the time, and I don't even go out that much, and people have zero clue that we exist, that WBAI exists. So I talk to people in Ohio. I talked to two people in Nebraska today, and I asked them to listen to the station. And I told them that I was listening to the woo-woo about clearing blocks so that they wouldn't be crazy and they could reprogram the subconscious, so that they could talk to human beings as human beings, as compared to challenges on a schoolyard. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I have something else. Hey, Williams.
Who's this? Okay, MK Williams. Is there? Okay, let's do a stack. I'll do a stack here. We have MK Williams. Anybody else?
Not all.
Bertold. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with MK Williams. Go ahead.
I just was going through my email, and I found an email from Bertold. It doesn't look like it. First, it's from Bertold. It's labeled WBAI Radio. But it's a perfect email for outreach. It's called Spreading the Word, and it's promoting donating $25, becoming a member, and then being able to vote in the upcoming election. It's the perfect kind of thing you could send to your entire address book as kind of a way. And then you could enclose it with your own little spiel about what WBAI means to you, Pacifica mission and all that. That's what I intend to do with this email, is spread the word, spread it around. So it's not like, Bertolt sent this out hoping that it would be picked up and spread on, I believe. So that's what I personally intend to do. That's all.
Point of information, time check.
Okay. What was that?
Point of information, time check.
Mr. Timekeeper, how much time do we have? Mr. Timekeeper? Let me look. I think Mr. Timekeeper may have fallen off here. Let's see. Let me go back to the last thing. The last thing we did was 10 minutes at 20:44. It is now... Oh, we are way to hell over to the time we extended for. So, okay.
Move to adjourn.
Well, actually, what happens is if nobody right now. Okay, motion to adjourn. Let's try that. All right. Is there any objection to adjourning at this time?
Yes, I want to hear the general manager.
Okay, so there's objections. So there's a motion on the floor to adjourn, and let me put a time in that, and then put a time
in... Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes?
The last time we did this, it took 5 minutes.
This is life. I mean, there's objection to it, so it's a motion to adjourn, and it's on the floor, and it has to be on the floor. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. The motion is to adjourn. If you say yes, that means you want to adjourn. If you say no, that means you don't want to adjourn, and it requires a majority vote. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma, Jim Dingman, Bruce Grief, John Hoffman.
Yes.
Noel Jameson. Noel Jameson. Okay, I couldn't hear that. Noel Jameson. I'll come back. Oh, yes. Okay. R. Paul Martin, I'll pass. Carolyn McIntyre.
Yes, adjourn.
Okay. Daryl McPherson.
No.
Allie Murphy.
Abstain.
Allie Murphy. You're abstaining?
Yes.
Okay. Bertolt Reimers. No. Bertolt Reimers. Yes, no, or abstain?
No.
No. Serene Roberts. Serene Roberts. Come back. James Sagerton. James
no.
Sagerton.
No.
Was that a no?
That was a no.
Thank you. Jeffrey Stern.
No.
Neil Voss. Neil Voss. Okay, I hear something, but it's bubbles. I'll come
abstain.
Back. Neil Weiss. Oh, gosh. Neil Voss, how do you vote? Okay, I'm not. I'll come back. Michael D.D. White.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Yes, there. M.K. Williams?
Yes.
Okay, going back to people we skipped, De Palma, Dingman, and Grief aren't here. Me. I'll vote, I'll abstain. Next is Serene Roberts. Last call, Serene Roberts. Don't hear her. Neil Voss. I mean, I heard something before, but it was just totally garbled. Neil Voss, last call. Are you saying you abstain? I'm going to count him as abstaining. I think that's what I heard. I wouldn't swear to it. 5-4, 4 against, 3 abstentions, and that's a majority, and so that motion passes. So it passes. And that's it for this meeting then. All right, we'll do this again next month. And thank you all for a lively meeting. And that's it. All right, thanks. Good night.
Good to hear you.
Thank you.